Are we early?
Patiently waiting, watching.
That clock is fast. The accurate, yes, the accurate time. Hi, Alyssa.
Morning.
Morning, how are you?
It's fine. When you're ready.
Dave, are you ready?
Good morning, everyone. I'm Randy Christman, Chairman of North Dakota Public Service Commission. I call this regularly scheduled meeting to order. It is Wednesday, October 4th, 2017, 10 a.m. I'm joined by Commissioner Brian Crashus and Commissioner Julie Fedorchak, so we have a quorum. I do not have any opening comments. Commissioner Crashus, do you?
I do not.
Commissioner Fedorchak?
I don't either.
Whoa. I appreciate that. If you're moving along, trying to keep things moving because you know I have a presentation to do at noon, I appreciate it. If not,
that's nice. Exactly what I was doing.
If not, it's a nice coincidence.
So should we start talking, Julie?
We have 6 items on the consent agenda, plus the approval of the minutes. I move approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, and I actually don't have any agenda items, so Commissioner Crashus, you're up.
All right, thank you. First on the agenda, I move the Commission adopt the Order on Consent Agreement in Public Service Commission, Quest Corporation Damage Prevention Enforcement, case number PU-17-147 and case number PU-17-241.
Second.
On April 13th, 2017, the Commission received a North Dakota one-call complaint from Veet and Company Incorporated alleging a violation by CenturyLink Communications of North Dakota Century Code Section 49-23, the one-call excavation notice system, and that is case number PU-17-147. On April 21st, 2017, the Commission sent a letter to CenturyLink enclosing the one-call complaint in case number PU-17-147. On May 8th, 2017, CenturyLink filed a response to the one-call complaint. And on June 6th, the Commission received a North Dakota one-call complaint from North Plains Utility Contracting alleging a violation, again by CenturyLink, of North Dakota Century Code Section 49-23. On June 7th, the Commission sent a letter to CenturyLink enclosing the one-call complaint in case number PU-17-241, and on June 22nd, CenturyLink filed a response to the one-call complaint in the case. On September 15th, 2017, the PSC advocacy staff and Quest Corporation filed a consent agreement for the resolution of case number PU-17-147 and PU-17-241. Under the consent agreement, Quest agrees to be assessed a civil penalty of $3,500 in case number PU-17-147 and $3,500 in case number PU-17-241 for a total of $7,000. Now, just to break this down just more general language. In both cases, Quest failed to locate their lines within 48 hours of the one call, or the call being placed with one call center. And as a result, we're proposing, or the agreement calls for $3,500 for each of those two violations. The maximum violation would have been up to $25,000 or $50,000 total. It's important to note that no damage was caused, and this is consistent with some of the other fines that have occurred. So we're not talking an underground facility in terms of the natural gas pipeline. Quest was really creating their own risk in terms of damage to their facilities by not marking their own lines as an excavator was doing the work. So because of that, the fines were $3,500 each for a total of $7,000.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I would just add that, well, it's not as much of a public danger when communication lines are hit. It is a public nuisance, and in a lot of cases, people are really dependent on those data lines for their work and for the operation of so many components that feed the economy. So I think it's appropriate that Quest is stepping forward here, acknowledging that you know, this telecommunications infrastructure is vital to our communities. And even though it isn't as risky for somebody who's out there striking it, it is important that it's marked and protected and avoided by the contractors. So I appreciate this consent agreement. Good job to the staff in getting that done.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, next up on the agenda, I move the commission acknowledge the September 15th, 2017 electronic submittal of the 2018 Gas Pipeline Safety Program Base Grant Application in the amount of $354,318 in Public Service Commission 2018 Federal State Gas Pipeline Safety Grants and Contracts, case number GS-17-353.
Second.
Okay, just to break this down a little bit, because the grant process, frankly, as I was visiting with staff, tends to be a bit convoluted as you're going through the different aspects. But this grant is to administer the program that we currently have in place. We have 1.5 FTEs approximately that work on the pipeline safety end of the equation, and that this grant would be applicable for. On the $354,318 that we are applying for, there is a range of between 60 and 80% that we might expect back on that. And that's one component in terms of how much is received back to help implement the program. The other part of the program, the other factor is how the audit score turned out for the agency. And I'm pleased to say that the agency had a perfect score this past time around. So you have the two factors. One is determined by the federal, at the federal level, in terms of how much money is available, and it can range between 60 and 80%. Then that 60 to 80% is applied or multiplied by against our score, and at 100%, whatever they are going to put forward, we would get that full amount. So 60% is roughly in that. If I did the math correctly on that, you're talking just a little more than just shy of $200,000. So very important in terms of helping implement the program. The program, as a point of reference, the program includes inspection of records, construction, leak surveying, corrosion control, existing facility installations, drug and alcohol use prevention programs that companies have in place, operation and maintenance, emergency response plans, everything from operator qualifications, system integrity management, public awareness efforts, and damage prevention efforts. And this is just an incredibly important program for the state to ensure that the infrastructure that's being operated in the field is safe and reliable. And again, putting public safety first and foremost is a critical component. So kudos to the staff on an exceptionally good score, obviously, and for the work that they do. We have a few things as we move forward we'll have to keep in mind, and that one thing in particular would be the number of inspection days that will be required going forward. And by the year 2020, we will have to be able to demonstrate that we will be able to conduct 210 inspection days in the field. And I believe the total this past time around that we're currently at is 136. But we have until 2020 to have enough inspection days to take care of the work that needs to be done. And that's because of growing infrastructure. There's more and more infrastructure being placed and more natural gas infrastructure that we have to inspect and to ensure that it's safe for the public to be in operation. So just a lot of moving parts to this, but really pleased with the score that the staff came up with, and they're just doing a very, very good job in that regard. So thank you for that.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
Yeah, I want to add to what Brian was just saying as far as the inspection days and moving on into the future. First of all, when I read this, I was stunned at getting the perfect scores. I wasn't stunned because of being surprised that our staff did a great job, but I didn't recall that we ever got perfect scores before, and I don't think hardly anyone ever does. These aren't given out routinely. They find something to nick a state program on, and so it's pretty extraordinary. As for those inspection days, that 2020 seems so far away, but I want to emphasize we brought this to the attention of the legislators this past spring, that the shift from PHMSA is to this requirement. And our options are going to ultimately be to add another inspector at a cost to the state or get less reimbursement from the federal government for failing to meet that standard at a cost to the state. And the 2020, while it seems a long ways away, and I understand that the budget was really tight this past spring and why they didn't move, but so that leaves us the 2019 session. Even if we are granted another inspector, till that person is trained up, when they do this report in 2020, a new hire in maybe, say, the spring or summer of 2019 is not going to have been trained in and gotten all those inspection days in. It takes years to get all the adequate training because PHMSA only offers those training programs periodically, and you have to follow an order and there's many of them. So we're ultimately going to be kind of in a tough situation with this program moving forward, but we will get through it, and they sure deserve kudos on this report.
I would echo that, those comments, Randy, and especially the kudos to the staff. This has been an area of focus for our staff and extra emphasis in recent years because PHMSA has changed their requirements in large degree. They wanted to move their programs more to risk-based analysis. And so our staff had to do a lot of work to restructure how they determine where they're going to go and really base it on the systems that have some sort of a risk. And so they have a risk-based system approach, which is the right approach long-term, but it took some adjustment because it was a different standard from PHMSA. This is one of those programs that rather quietly operates behind the scenes, but has a really important result for North Dakota citizens because our staff is double-checking the work of the safety staff of all the companies that are out there running these systems. And these systems go right up into people's homes. So this is it's a very valuable product. We love having natural gas. It's very efficient, and it's a wonderful way to fuel industry and homes. But it's also needs to be done right, or it can have some pretty serious ramifications if it isn't. So these inspectors are out there holding the companies that are providing that service responsible for meeting all the standards of safety. So it is a really important program. It is something we're going to have to address with the legislature moving forward in terms of having the right number of inspectors to do the job correctly. We have a lot of natural gas infrastructure in North Dakota, and we simply need to have the staff to do it right. The one thing I did want to clarify, and I wasn't sure quite exactly how you stated this, Brian, but my understanding is the grant is $354,000 plus dollars, and that will be used, and we won't get 60% of that. We'll get all of that, and that might cover up to 60% of the total program costs.
No, my understanding is that the total program will cost $354,000, is it $380, okay. I believe, to implement. And then of that, we would get, and I'm estimating, or it's a bit of an estimation, that we would get approximately 60% based on what we know, if you will, at this time. It's been as high as 80% in the past, but
right. But
federal dollars are in shorter supply these days. So
we're submitting a total budget of $354,000 with the hopes of getting as much as possible back from the federal.
As right, up to 80%, but it's more than likely to be in that 60% range.
Okay.
And it's dependent upon what other states are submitting and as they divvy up that pool of funding.
Okay, thank you.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, and the last one for me, I move the commission acknowledge the September 25th, 2017 electronic submittal of the 2018 Pipeline Safety One Call Grant application in the amount of $60,000 and Public Service Commission 2018 One Call Grant Grants and Contracts, case number GS-17-358.
Second.
Okay, this is somewhat similar but a little different in nature. We are applying for this in two parts. The one part is $50,000 for one call enforcement, and then the second part of the $60,000 so it totals up as $10,000 for damage prevention awareness billboards, a program that is run in April every year where we place 16 to 20 billboards across the state just prior to the construction season really heating up. So that's an awareness program to essentially call before you dig, call 811 before conducting any excavation activities in the field. So that's an important awareness program. The 811 one call program itself, that organization does a significant amount in addition to that. So this is really a smaller part, but an important part and a part that we play. The $50,000 component amount is to reimburse the state for expenses incurred in the enforcement of the North Dakota Century Code Chapter 49-23, the one-call excavation notice system. So that $50,000, we apply for it. It can be up to $50,000, and then we actually track expenses as we go throughout the year. This was applied for last year, and still tallying the actual time spent on the program, because actually it was applied for last year for 2017 expenses, so we'll see where we land at the end of the year. This application would be for 2018 expenses, and similar, we will track expenses in 2018, and whatever we wind up spending up to the $50,000 is what we're seeking reimbursement for. Just as a quick point of reference, a reminder, the one-call excavation notice system law was enacted to avoid damage and to minimize interference with underground facilities, including the ones that we've talked about, natural gas lines, communications lines, data lines, electricity, and the things that we rely on each and every day to power our homes and to be able to communicate with others. So a very important program and one that I've really enjoyed being a part of. As always, I'm impressed with what the staff does in a number of areas across the board. But they're really on top of this. They take it very seriously. I take it very seriously because there's a definite risk to digging before you call. And Julie made a great point. It's not always the natural gas or the pipeline hit where an explosion can occur, but when you have individuals that rely on that landline, for example, to call emergency services if something should happen in the home and the line is down, that certainly becomes a very serious situation. So a very important program, and that's what the grant amounts requested are for.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Commissioner Fedorchak.
Okay. I move the commission deem the consolidated amendment applications complete and issue a notice of filing and notice of opportunity for hearing in Montana Dakota Utilities Otter Tail Power Company 345 KV transmission line, Dickey County, citing application case number PU-13-840.
Second.
And so on June 10th of 2014, we issued a corridor certificate and route permit for this facility. It's an 11 miles of 345 kV electric transmission line, and facilities going from Ellendale to the South Dakota border in Dickey County. This is part of the Ellendale to Big Stone transmission line project, of one of the MVP projects that was approved by MISO and is near completion on June of this year and September 6th of this year. The applicants filed a consolidated applications for a second amended corridor certificate and route permit. They're requesting some minor corridor and route modifications from transmission line structures number 29, 30, and to 32 in section 20 of Van Meter Township in Dickey County. Basically, they're proposing to move the line, or they need to move the line outside of the approved corridor to avoid being too close to another existing transmission line, a change that they weren't anticipating prior to construction, but once they got out on the site, they realized they need to do this. So comments and requests for hearing must be received in our office by November 10th of this year.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law, and order issuing corridor certificate number 200 and route permit 211 in Northern States Power Company 230 KV transmission line, McHenry and Ward counties, citing application case number PU-17-102.
Second.
Okay, so in March, NSP filed an application for this to construct this 20-mile, 230 KV transmission line, including a new Magic City substation and associated facilities in Ward County near the city of Minot to the existing McHenry substation in McHenry County near the city of Velva. We held a public hearing on this application on August 18th and had that hearing up in Minot. A couple key things on this project. This project goes back to a certificate of public convenience and necessity that we granted to the company in January for this project. And basically, the project is needed to meet the growing demand for electricity in the Minot area and to reinforce the reliability of the region's electric transmission system. And there's a few different companies that were involved in studying this matter and coming up with a proposed solution. NSP currently serves its entire load for the city of Minot from the Souris substation via two smaller 115 kV transmission lines. This infrastructure was built in the late 50s and the early 60s. those lines are reaching their capacity, and they experience low voltage conditions when certain elements of the system are out of service. So in addition, the McHenry substation and transformer also experiences overloads when certain elements of the transmission system are out of service. So this joint Minot load serving study and addendum, it included Great River Energy, it included Basin, and included NSP, concluded that this Minot project is the most effective solution to address the near-term voltage issues and the long-term capacity issues in the Minot area. And we agreed with that decision back with our decision to provide them a certificate of public convenience and necessity back in January. So now this project that we're approving today basically looks at the site for this line and reviews that application based on the siting criteria. NSP selected the proposed route based on a number of factors, including input from landowners, federal, state, and local agencies, avoidance of wetlands, cultural sites, and environmentally sensitive areas, compliance with the North Dakota siting law, and feasibility from a design, construction, and access perspective. The proposed route basically follows the existing line of a 115 kV line, and it deviates from that existing kV line in North Prairie Township to Moore County, where they basically didn't had zoning rules that wouldn't allow it to be reconstructed in that same area. They will be tearing down the existing 115 line after they put this one up, and so it's a new 230 kV line and 115 kV transmission line all in one structure, so it will provide less visual impact to the citizens living in this area while addressing the transmission needs in that area. The total cost of the project is estimated to be about $50.5 million. In terms of the specifics of the route, no exclusion areas were identified within the project area. There are a few avoidance areas that they, one of them being the City of Velva Wellhead Protection Area and the North Prairie Watershed District 3. There's no reasonable alternative to bypass these avoidance areas, but they're going to use best management practices to minimize potential impacts to the surface and groundwater. The SHPO has reviewed the studies and has come out with the recommended finding of no historic properties affected. And there are six residences within 500 feet of the center line of the proposed route. That's an avoidance area or exclusion area. Those people have signed waivers to route around it and or to allow for it, and so that has been addressed as well. So essentially, there wasn't a lot of public input at the hearing or concerns about this. It seems to be an important new investment to improve the reliability and serve the needs of the Minot area long term. And so I think all of the necessary work has been done, and I'm ready to support this project.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. This next one is an item that would typically be on our consent agenda, but because we just approved in my last motion this order for this project, we didn't want to prematurely approve a contract for inspection services for a project that hadn't been approved yet by the commission. So I move the commission execute a contract with Interstate Engineering for construction inspection services in Northern State Power Company 230 kV transmission line, McHenry and Ward County, siting application case number PU-17-102.
Second.
It's nothing really to no additional insight to provide on this. I will say that if we had approved it in the consent agenda, though, these contracts are contingent on an order being approved, so it wouldn't have been technically a problem if we had done it the other way, but we decided to do it this way today.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. I move the commission deem the application complete and issue a notice of filing and notice of hearing in Foxtail Wind, LLC, Foxtail Wind Energy Center, Dickey County, siting application case number PU-13-840.
Second.
This is another wind farm project. This one is located in the southeast to south central part of North Dakota, almost on the North Dakota border, south of Maricourt. It's on almost intersection of Highway 56 and Highway 11. A public hearing on this application for case number PU-17-284 is scheduled for November 30th at 11 a.m. at the Fireside Restaurant in Ellendale, North Dakota. On July 17th, Foxtail Wind LLC filed an application for a certificate of site compatibility to authorize construction of a proposed 150-megawatt Foxtail Wind Energy Center in Dickey County, North Dakota. We will be going down to Ellendale to discuss this project with the company and to hear from the public on the company on November 30th. Just to provide a little insight, this project was being developed by NextEra Energy, and they're pursuing the development and the permitting. And then Xcel Energy intends to purchase and construct and operate this wind farm if a siting permit is granted. The construction they anticipate, just in terms of a little bit of background, to be in two phases in 2018 and 19. It is a 150-megawatt wind farm. And they intend to use up to 75 turbines. They do have an interconnect agreement secured through MISO already, and this project, if approved in construction, would tie into the MDU 230 kV line in Ellendale and connect ultimately to the Big Stone to Brookings line that will 345 kV line that will bring power into the Twin Cities. So this is another significant wind project that we'll be looking at and heading down to that part of the state and considering and anticipate a good lively discussion on this one, as with all wind projects.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I would just add that while I'm relatively new to the commission still, there has been a lot of activity when it comes to wind farm development. We've had a number of hearings as of late, and the reason is that companies are trying to get in front of the production tax credit, or doing the things necessary to qualify for the production tax credit. That's driving this to a considerable degree, and the federal production tax credit, they need to demonstrate that they've spent 5% of the estimated project cost in 2016, and they so they can actually take a look back and get that PTC put in place and get the full amount. And then the production tax credit, as we get into the year 2020, of course, will phase out. And as that begins to phase out, I think it'll be interesting to see what the activity level in terms of wind development is as we move into next year and the year after. So it's a busy time. Understandably, they're trying to capture the full amount of the PTC. That's driving a considerable amount of development at this time, and the hearings getting some new questions are getting thrown into the mix, but as always, we'll go down and listen to what the public has to say and what their thoughts are.
Is there any further discussion?
You know, I'll just add one more comment about the state of wind in general. It is at a transition time where the PTCs are going to be phasing out. We haven't seen any projects. I think we have one project in the pipeline or that might be proposed that actually is looking at capturing 80%, not the full 100% of PTC. And it was, in their view, the company's view, still an economic project. So it will be interesting to see how the phasing out of the PTCs does impact the development of the wind and also the lack of demand. I mean, that's the other reality in the energy world is demand for electricity isn't growing. And so absent demand and PTC, what happens with wind, we'll see. But we do have companies starting to come back to us for repowering. And that is going to be another interesting phase of wind development. And it also says something about the viability of these wind projects long term. If the company's coming in to repower, I'm assuming they're doing that without APTC to secure and cover the costs of the repower for the next 10, 15 years. So they are weathering those costs without the PTC. So what does that do to the prices and the viability long term? Those are going to be some of the interesting issues to consider as we look at some of those repowering agreements. And it also will be great to have discussions with the companies about once they repower, how long are they looking at these systems lasting? So we are at the cutting edge of wind development in the country, and we're seeing a lot of experimentation in our state, and a lot of companies really taking the lead in some of these newer issues like the repowering and the changing of the lights. And so it's good that we're pushing them in that direction, I think.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
My last item, I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Border Winds Energy NSP Power Transfer of Site Certificate Siting Application Case Number PU-17-362.
Second.
On May 5th of 2011, the commission issued a Certificate of Site Compatibility to Sequoia Energy, authorizing construction of a proposed 150-megawatt Antelope Hills Wind Project and associated facilities in Rolette County, North Dakota. Excuse me. On April 9th, the commission reissued a certificate. April 9th of 2014, the commission reissued a certificate of site compatibility to Border Winds Energy, LLC, and amended the certificate to authorize turbine and site plan revisions. Border Winds LLC was merged into an NSP power company on December 3rd of 2015. On September 22nd of 2017, in case number PU-17-361, NSP filed an application to transfer their certificate of site compatibility number 21 from Border Winds LLC to NSP. And so the issues to be considered are whether NSP is able to comply with the terms and conditions of their certificates and the permits. So any comments and requests for a hearing on this issue must be received by November 15th of 2017.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. Sam, just noticing on here that on the top of this order, notice we have case number PU-17-362, and then in the text we cite case number PU-17-361. So I don't know if staff needs to double check that, if there's a change that needs to be made before we sign that. It might be something to catch. Thank you. That's it for me.
That concludes our agenda by way of announcements. In case anyone is listening in and wondering what happened to the hearing that was scheduled for today and yesterday on Dakota Access Pipeline, PU-14-842, that was canceled during a special commission meeting last week. A settlement was reached. On Friday coming up here at 8:30 a.m., is a formal hearing in three cases with Otter Tail Power. There's an advanced determination of prudence on the Astoria Gas Project. That's 17-140. Another advanced determination of prudence on the Maricourt Wind Project. That's 17-141. And then a certificate of public convenience and necessity for the Maricourt project. That is 17-143. Again, those are at 8:30 on Friday in this room. The only other announcement, on October 18th is our next regularly scheduled meeting. I don't recall doing this, but it's listed as being at 1:30 instead of 10. So apparently we had a conflict, so I just want to emphasize that it is scheduled for 1:30 on the 18th, not at 10. And then there's still an informal schedule for 3:30, but as far as I know, nothing has been filled into that spot. That concludes the announcement. We'll take a short break to sign some orders here and take a break for a few minutes. But before we stand in recess for that, we'll take any questions that the press may have.
Well, first off, Foxtail Wind, do you have a price tag on that?
Oh, let's see here. I should. I'm guessing it's about $250, but Patrick, do you have one off the top of your head? I have the application here. I'll have to dig that out, Dave. Just okay. Give me a second. And you can ask the next question if you want.
I can assume Border Winds is not being built just yet.
Border Winds, the transfer certificate. Jerry, is Jerry in here? I don't think, is it being under construction? We permitted it, but I'm not sure the status of the construction on that, Dave. It's hard to keep them all straight because there's so many different ones and they all have different time frames.
I just had one question on Foxtail.
Border Winds, I'm sorry.
That's fine.
One of those is already operational. I think Border Winds
is
already
Border
operational.
Winds is
yeah, it is.
The one at Rolla is not.
The Roulette one, yeah. That Roulette. One is not. That still hasn't been constructed or purchased. Okay, yeah. Sorry, John.
Okay. On Foxtail, did you say that, if I understood right, once this gets built, it's being developed by NextEra, but once it gets built, then Xcel Energy will buy it and operate the actual wind farm? Or?
Actually, in their proposal, in their permit, they're saying that, or their application, they're saying that once we permit it, if we do, then NSP will buy it and NSP will construct it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But at this point, it's
so they're scheduled to buy it later, and they hope to buy it later on this year yet.
Okay.
And then NSP will construct it in 2018 and 2019.
Okay.
That's their plans laid out in the permit. Of course, that's all pending our approval.
And the estimated price tag is $267 million. Oh, no, don't remember who asked that question. Well, thank Sarah. She just brought a sticky note in. So I'd love to say that was really just off the top of my head. I studied all night long, and I think it's $267.1 million.
Say, just as a little plug, Randy mentioned the hearing on Friday, and I know these hearings aren't typically riveting news material, but this one, there is a settlement agreement that's been reached, and so the hearing will be relatively short, and in a short amount of time, you'd be able to capture the company's analysis of a gas plant, a wind farm, and why they think this is economic. And so just as background information on all that's happening in the energy industry, that hearing will cover a lot of ground. So it might be something just to listen in on if you've got time or have it running in the background.
I quickly have a question. Off the top of your head, do you guys have approximately how much wind energy is generated in our state right now with all of our...
Currently, there's 3,000 megawatts, round numbers, of installed capacity.
Right, 2990.
Okay.
These projects are set to go in, and begin production in a couple years from now. And so that's been stable. There was about 1,000 megawatts added last year, and now that's been around that 3,000 megawatt mark since then.
Yeah, and that's nameplate capacity.
Yeah, installed. So it's actively working and operating. Jerry, how much have we permitted that's not constructed yet?
I'd have to look at the spreadsheet to find out for sure, but I think we're looking at 500 megawatts or so.
Okay.
Maybe a little more than that, that has yet to get constructed.
Yeah, and does that... Yeah, and we've got Mericourt still pending, so that would... Because I was thinking, right?
Yeah, it's a little harder question than that because we've permitted projects that aren't going to go forward.
Sure, that's true.
And so...
Yeah, so he's got sort of a breakdown of everything we permitted, and then there's some that may never, ever happen. And so he's sort of made his own analysis on the ones that are most likely to be constructed based on they have a power purchase agreement or an interconnection agreement, that type of thing.
Yeah, was that from Dave?
That's from, well, Alyssa was kind of exploring those.
So I can bring you the spreadsheet.
Okay.
Okay.
Also in Minot, where is the new substation going, just relatively
it
speaking?
It is on the, let's see.
Southeast.
Southeast?
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Jerry. Anything else?
And they have a tract of land already acquired for that. That's agricultural. So.
Now, is it true that the city was just served by one substation?
That's what we heard in the application. Yeah.
Anything else? Okay. We'll reconvene in 5 minutes. Can I ask you what